It's a great honor and privilege it is to bring the Word of God to you today. Yeah, the passage that we'll be studying today is from the book of 2 Peter, so if you want to turn there to chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and as we study it today, we see that we will be talking about your word. What a joy it is to be able to read it, to study it, to pray about it, to pray through it, and I just pray that you will just open our eyes and learn something from it today, and that I just pray that it will be your words, not mine, that come from my mouth. In your name I pray, amen. All right, so storms. Storms are a part of life. Many of us know this, have experienced them. You might have seen over the last, week, we got a great rain, which is much needed, but there are some that are very severe. They cause damage, can harm buildings, property, and sometimes people. Architects and construction companies have designed buildings such as storm shelters to weather these situations. They use rugged materials such as steel and concrete, which can provide shelter and safety. Even with all this of these precautions, there is sometimes an inkling of fear or doubt that the structure will truly withstand the storm. It is only after a test of the promise of the structure's integrity and it surviving do you have a found faith in that storm shelter or building, and it was doing as just as it promised. An example of this was 12 years ago now when the tornadoes came and hit Pilger, Nebraska. You would go down to Main Street after the tornado and many buildings were destroyed, but there was one building, the library, that was still there. It was built to withstand hurricane force winds and such, but yeah, sure, it might be good, it might not. We need a storm, and Pilger did have a storm, and it stood fast. It protected what was inside, nothing was lost. And in a similar way, today's passage provides us with truths about the steadfastness of Scripture. But before we dive into this passage, I just want to give a brief introduction to the book of 2 Peter, since I'm not starting at the beginning. And first, you have to look back kind of to 1 Peter. The book of 1 Peter is a letter that Peter wrote to believers in the dispersion of the towns of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, which are all within Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey. 1 Peter is an exhortation to the believers to pursue sanctification, to be holy, and rejoice in suffering. 2 Peter follows it up where Peter encourages the churches in what they are doing, to continue to pursue holiness and to bear fruit. And it also warns of the false teachers and doctrines that are becoming more prevalent in the churches in those areas. Today, we see the first truth that is seen is that God's word is truth. In verse 19, it says, and starts, and we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed. So we need to first off understand this is a letter written to the believers in Asia. It's not to unbelievers necessarily, it's to these churches who have known him, who have believed in the name of Jesus as their Savior. And this prophetic word is the God's word that they have. It's the Old Testament scriptures within which the prophecies of the minor prophets, major prophets, all of these things are in. So that's where we get this prophetic word. It's the word of God that has much prophecy, much revelation from God to man. That's really what prophecy is. It's a revelation that God gives to mere men who have no understanding or comprehension of him without it. And then it says, and we have this word more fully confirmed. The word confirm, really fully confirmed, is to make sure, to make certain is truth. So it's saying we need to make this word known greater in our life. We need it to be confirmed in within us. Now, God does not need to prove or confirm himself to himself, his word to himself. In fact, God can do something that none of us can. He vindicates his own word by his own word. He sees, you know, we as mere humans, we can say something, but nothing is truth within ourselves. We cannot say this. But God can say something, and what does he do? He says something else that's just like, well, it's truth. It's truth. We can't do that. We always go to God's word as believers. You know, when we're in situations, we don't just go to our own understanding. We go to God's word. We're like, well, what does Scripture say? You know, we can weather this storm. We can go work through this because of what God has said in his Scripture. I think that's something that it gets just mind-blowing that, yeah, God, his word is truth. He can vindicate himself. He doesn't have to explain himself because he's God, but he chose to through his word to us. We see that we, as people, even as believers, we need to constantly remind ourselves of God's word and that it is true. I mean, you look back into the Old Testament to Exodus, to Judges, you see the people of Israel had these miracles and signs and wonders. God's presence, like, really prevalent. And what did they do? Oh, they went and did what was in their own eyes, what was good. They forgot. A couple of days, and they were going away from him. In the same way, brothers and sisters, we need to continue to remind ourselves, continue to be in the Word of God, to remind ourselves that God's Word is true, and it is for us right now. 2 Peter 1, previously, in verses 16 through 18, shows us an example of prophecy being fulfilled to confirm his word to us. Now, it's, like I said, it's not to confirm his word to himself. It is to us. We need this reminder. And so I'm going to read if you want to look back at verse 16 in chapter 1 of 2 Peter. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, this is my Son, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And then it goes into the passage that we see, or we are studying today. This is the picture of the transfiguration that happens in the Gospels. Like Luke 9 is one where it's found. But this is a chance to show, I think it was Peter, James, and John went up this mountain with Jesus, and he was transfigured before them. He became as white as snow. His glory emanated from him, and it was a sign, you know. This was something that could fully confirm what Jesus had said. There were prophecies that were fulfilled within this happening, this transfiguration. And Peter says here that we stood before that. It was fully confirmed. Like, we had this physical sign. It wasn't just a spiritual truth that was, you know, just to understand it and you'll be good. It was physical. It was happening before their very eyes. And then God says, you know, this is my Son, my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. It proves Jesus' deity before them too. It wasn't just this one spectacular show, but this is voice that comes in. This is my Son. I'm confirming this. Believe it. Listen to him. And the birth, death, resurrection of Jesus is likewise a very spiritual aspect, you know, something that we hold to as the gospel, are central to our faith. But it wasn't just a mere spiritual fact. It was physical. A prophecy that was fulfilled. I mean, all of Scripture points to Jesus, and he came and proved his word to us that he is true. Did God need to send Jesus to prove himself as God? No, but he did to us to show us his love, that we could be brought back to him. Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, your words are firmly fixed in the heavens." In Psalm 40, verse 8, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." It's there. It's never going to move. And because of this, we see the scriptures saying all the things about the gospel, where Jesus is coming to transform. And that's what our second truth is, that God's word illuminates and transforms. We go to the next verse, or finishing of 19, where it says, I'm just going to read the whole verse, actually. "And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." There's a couple of words in here that I think just need to be understood to this fullest. The attention there, you know. To which you will do well to pay attention. This attention is an active holding close to. It's not something that's like, I'm going to look at it, I see it. No, it's I'm going to hold fast to this. I'm going to be as close as I can to it. An image that in the Greek kind of brings out is as a ship to the land. In the midst of a storm, they will go around the harbor, kind of like very close to the shore because it is a lot less stormy. It protects them. You know, it is something that they will cling to, this land, this firm foundation, and they will continue their journey. That is this attention. I am actively holding fast to this, therefore I will not fail. Now, what is this attention to? Like, and it gives us right here, as to a lamp shining in a dark place. That the lamp shining is an illumination of something. And in this instance, this word dark is something that when I was studying, I was thinking, oh, dark, you know. You know, we always hear, you know, the darkness. We just think black. It's dark. There's an absence of light. But as I read in the Greek, there's the Greek word achmeros. It brings forth the idea of a dirtiness, a void of brightness, murky, stagnant. And my favorite word that I came across when in the looking at this is squalid. And I was like, what does that mean? But it makes you think of a pond. You know, a pond around here they're not clean. You know, they're extremely dirty, unpleasant. They stink, especially it's because of neglect. This darkness is a neglect. Like, this is not something that's just absence of light. A light comes on and it's all bright and all merry. No, there's dirt. There's grime in this darkness. And so once there is illumination to this darkness, yes, there is light, but then you are able to see this dirtiness that needs to be cleaned up, something that we cannot do ourselves without the Word of God in our presence to illuminate. You know, we'll have our sin so that we have something that you might not even notice, and you read the Word of God and you're convicted as believers. This is wonderful. We need to cling to this. We need to be like, wow, I did not see this. Now I see this. Now I am going to seek help. I am going to confess this sin, because it is now opened to our own eyes. And then that's what God's word does. God's word is that light. It is that illumination. And as this is in the context of the believers, it's not just talking about unbelievers. Yes, he does, you know, change one's life. He transformed. But the transformation process doesn't stop at justification. It is a continuation into sanctification. The books of Peter clearly say this. It is a process of sanctification. Be holy as I am holy. Like, this is, you know, it is a very true thing. And if you go back sometime and read through the beginning of chapter 1, it gives you practical ways of understanding this truth, of applying things to your life. Excuse me. Then there's this thing calling the day dawns. What is this day? Many scholars believe it to be the day when the Lord returns. So we are to pay attention to the Word of God. We are to hold fast to it, to apply it to our lives. until that day. You know, we're not immune as believers in the church in America from living like we are not a believer. We can easily fall into sin. We can easily fall away if not for holding fast to God, clinging, paying attention, bringing ourselves close. He will bring himself closer to us. And when that day comes, the morning star rises in your heart. What does that mean? Well, there's a couple different explanations, but I think the New American Commentary explains it in a way that can do better than I. It says, when Jesus comes, we will not need the prophetic word to shine in a dark place, which is the sinful world. Then our hearts will be enlightened by the morning star, Jesus himself, and to that which prophecy points will have arrived. So in the last day when Jesus returns, he will be there. We will not need his word. His presence will be there as, you know, when we are taken to glory forever. We will be cleansed. We will be fully transformed and glorified, renewed. And Jesus, the morning star, will fully illuminate the earth and destroy all of sin and darkness forever. Which leads us to our third truth, that God is the only source of Scripture. Verse 20, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. If you look in chapter 2 in 2 Peter, it's coming right up. There is a warning against false doctrines and teachers who are coming and they twist Scripture. They twist God's word. And they need to be aware of this. And so before you understand that, you must understand the word of God. What is this word that we're supposed to cling to? And that this word comes from God. No one else. Because these false prophets and teachers are going to take the prophecy of Scripture and say, oh, that already happened, or when it hasn't, you know. Or Jesus didn't come. The Messiah hasn't come yet. There are very many things that you can believe. But if you don't know Scripture, if you don't know this is God's word, that it comes from his own mouth, that is what we are to cling to, not some false teaching. You know, we can't interpret this without the whole of Scripture. That's why taking things out of context is so bad, because you can apply about anything to your own life if you just take a verse out. There are so many examples. I'm not going to bring them up necessarily. But that's eisegesis. That's the act of bringing your truth into Scripture, making Scripture what you want it to be, not allowing the Word of God to be in your life to transform you into Christ's image. And we need to be very careful not to do that. And so Peter here is explaining that you must hold fast to God's Word, nothing else. Now there are great teaching. Pastor Clint here is a great example. He studies the Word of God and he takes it from its context and he boils it down to something he can understand. And it is amazing. It is amazing that we can even do this. And I am so thankful to God that He has illuminated, He has given this Word to us that we can study. We don't deserve that, but we have it from God. And I think that we need to be thankful for that. Excuse me. Now, I'm just going to give it. There's examples of this in the Old Testament scriptures of, you know, how do we know it's from God? Well, you go back to 2 Samuel 12, where the prophet Nathan is sent from God to call out David for his sin with Bathsheba. It starts, the Lord said Nathan. 1 Samuel 15, this is Samuel again. It says, the Lord sent me, Samuel, to anoint you, king of Israel. He's talking to Saul there. 1 Samuel 15 again, it says, the word of the Lord came to Samuel. This is prevalent across all of Scripture. It wasn't, and Samuel decided to go up to Saul and say, hey, you want to be king over Israel? No, it was the Lord's divine providence that was like, okay, Samuel, I need you to go do this. And he did it. Now that's, all of this is only because of God's word being true and being divine and from his mouth. I think Isaiah 6, where it's a pretty popular passage where Isaiah is called by God. And there's, in verse 8, I'm just going to read it. It says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying," so Isaiah is saying this, "Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then I said, Here I am, send me." There's a response necessary to hearing the word of God. Do you truly hear the word of God if you do not do what it says? Are you actually paying attention, holding fast to it, if you just listen to it on a Sunday morning and don't actually try to apply it to your lives? Don't dig in yourself? And as men, don't lead your families in it? Is that? There is a response necessary for hearing the word of God. And 2 Timothy is a very important passage too, I think, for understanding that this is really truly from God. It gives us proof that it is. And it says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." That's 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. I don't think I mentioned that. That's the Christian life right there. For teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, so that we can be more like God, that we can be complete in him. There is an action that is taken. And the only way that we can really know the truth from the false teachings is to understand it. I remember back going to school for diesel mechanics. I was working on things, and you start to recognize like parts on vehicles, and you're like, "Well, that's a cheap part." It wasn't because I went and was like, "Okay, I'm gonna look up all these cheap fake brands and try to understand why they're fake." No, I just knew the real thing. You know, it says, well, if you're working on a John Deere tractor, the real part is like, you know, John Deere. That's the best part, John Deere. And you can go, you know, it wasn't because I went and searched out all the bad things. It was because I just knew. Like, okay, well, that failed. Well, most likely it's because it was a cheap part. It was a substitute for what you needed, something better than that. And so in a way, that's how we need to be with Scripture. We need to be in Scripture. We need to be reading it daily so that we know what the Word of God is. It's not like, I don't think the Word of God's, I mean, I don't, You know, when you hear something, you need to be firm in your faith and understanding of the Scripture. So you'll be like, I don't think that's true, and then take it back to Scripture, because this is our book, that our, the God's word that he has revealed to us. And so, do you believe that Scripture is from God? Have you accepted that? Have you understood that, you know, this is an inspired book that God has given us from his own very mouth, that was written down by his faithful followers? Or do you just think it is, you know, some man-made book that's, yeah, it sold the most copies in the world, but it doesn't really apply to me because it's not true? Do you believe that God's word truly transforms? Has it transformed you? And if so, if you claim that it has transformed you, are you pursuing him? Are you pursuing God through his word? Are you praying daily? Are you going to him with everything? Because, I mean, there's really no other point to life. There's no purpose in life without God's word. And we see, like, God came to save us all. But only those who receive him will he count as his name, as his children. And I just pray that all of you will, if you haven't, would trust him for your salvation, that you know, realize that you do not, in and of yourself, have enough goodness or anything to save yourself. That only God can save you, and he already has if you will accept him. Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for sin and death, and you can be alive with Christ forever. And if you have, just be in the Word of God. Be in a community of believers. Be in a church. Remember daily what God has done for you. Cling fast to that truth. As we're in this time of Memorial Day, you go think about back to people that are serving this country or whatnot. But I think of, when I think of faithfulness to God and His Word, I think of some pillars of this church, Dolores Clement and Pauline Luttman, which many of you knew and some of you did not. But there was not a time that you would talk to them and they wouldn't bring up God and His Word, how faithful God had been to them. They would pray for you. They would just have a smile on their face because of the joy that was within them. They clung fast to the Word of God. They understood what it did for them, and they wanted you to know it, and they wanted you to experience that truth that God's Word said. And I've been blessed by knowing many people similar, but they were just the ones that come up in my mind that it's like, wow, I want to be like them. I fail in ways, I don't share the gospel in every conversation that I have. It's convicting, Do I truly believe what I hear from Scripture? Do I cling fast to it? If I do, I need to be constantly reminding myself of that and telling others, because it's not the loving thing to do is, the loving thing to do is not to hold to yourself, because it might be you that says something to someone that maybe even might be 10 years down the line, it might be 20, but they'll remember and say, it was something that they said about the truth of Scripture. God's Word is powerful, and it alone transforms and saves. And so I think if we believe, we go look back to Luke 9, where in the Transfiguration, where the voice that came from heaven, from God, and it says, "And a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him.'" Let us listen with open ears to the Word of God, not putting our own interpretation into it, but gleaning from it truth from God himself, understanding that's what it is, and, communing with God daily, Bible study, prayer, being in fellowship on Sunday mornings and other times, just understanding that God's Word is true, and everything that's in it is going to happen or has happened according to His divine plan and nature. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your Word. Thank you that you have given it to us, that you have revealed yourself to us, that we can understand that Jesus came to die for us, to redeem us, to bring us back into communion with you. Lord, we don't deserve it. We are sinful and fallen, but Lord, you have brought us back to you, and we just thank you for that. Thank you for your Word. Thank you that we can go to it daily. I pray that we would just cling to it like there is no tomorrow. In your name I pray. Amen.